welcome to episode 195 of Game Over Nation. I am your host this time around. My name's Gabe Philbin, in case you don't recognize my voice. And with me this time is, well, no one. It's just me right now, trying a little something different. Just getting there, making the climb to 200, and I kind of want to talk, since I've been talking about it a whole lot, especially on Twitter the last few days, about wrestling. And not all of it, because that would take far, far too long. But just why I like it. What makes wrestling appealing to me. And, well, that's... I guess there's like a list I'll go through for this. The kind of the reason I want to go through this, because I've been talking about a certain match that happened over the weekend at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. I guess they called it the co-main event. It should have been the last match for many, many reasons, but I'll get into that later. The match between Sasha Banks and Bayley for the women's championship. So, what makes that match so good? What makes any match, wrestling match, good? And why do I think it's a good place to tell a story? Why I think it can tell a good story? And that, the first one is just the athleticism of the match. To explain the format of this, I'm going to go through this list, explain why I like each one of these points of it. It's not a long list. It's a pretty easy to follow list, I think. But I'll go through the list, explain what makes a good match, and then why this particular match from Saturday at an NXT TakeOver Brooklyn between Sasha Banks and Bayley was each one of these things. I will say I'm going to kind of spoil parts of the match, like talking about the winner, all of that. So definitely recommend watching this match. It's my favorite match of the year. Clearly, like not even close to another match. This is my favorite, absolute favorite, ultimate match of the year. Give it the gold medal, whatever else you want to decorate this thing with. And first up, it's the athleticism. That's the easiest one. The athleticism of the match is the easiest one. It's the spectacle. Making things look cool, making things look painful, making a show, making just a visual treat for the people watching, both in the arena and on TV. Wherever you're watching, you gotta make it look good. You have to make, you know, have cool moves, and there's all sorts of moves, and wrestlers will have their little goodie bag of abilities that they have. Are they like a submissions person or a like crazy acrobatic high flyer? All of these things, a grappler, you know, can change from wrestler to wrestler, but that's the basic, most easy to understand part of what makes a wrestling match good. It just, is it cool to look at? And then next up is the psychology of a match, and that's how the character's attitude is reflected and performed. And that can also kind of go into, is it a good character in the match? Like, what are the traits of this wrestler? How do they represent that in ring or on the mic? What is their attitude, and how do they portray that with their body language, with what they say? And how that can actually get into a match itself. Not only just outside the match, but also within it. Next up, the story. The story building, I guess, would be more specific here. And that is, what are the stakes of this match? What is the build-up to it? How many have they fought before? How did that fight go? What happened before this fight that makes this fight important? And that can, with wrestling, that can be a buildup of years. And in some cases, they kind of just like stumble upon a story and like, hey, you know, maybe we can do something with this. And yeah, like that's, so that can actually be a little difficult to follow if you're just going into a match regularly, which is what promos are for. Like if you're cutting a pre-match promo, how does that, like, condense the story in an understandable way? And the story can be any number of things. I think the most fundamental one that wrestling usually goes for is the good guy versus the bad guy, you know, the heel versus the face, respectively. Or, excuse me, the heel versus the face, heel is the bad guy, face is the good guy. So, what have they done before this match? What is their relation? How do these characters interact with each other? And what does this match mean to both of them as individuals? Next up, this is the like term that I feel can actually be not understood, because it gets thrown around a lot when talking about like what makes wrestling good. Like, why is it a interesting medium to tell stories? And the term is in-ring storytelling, and that's kind of a broad, very, very broad term that isn't very descriptive. It's just kind of, you're in the ring, you're telling a story. What does that mean? And to me, that is the pace of the match. Who's in favor at this point in the match? How does the favor swing from one person to the other as the match proceeds? What moves are used? How are the like emotions of these characters getting impacting this match? How is something that happened at the beginning of the match affecting what happens later, and then at the end, you know, all of these things together? And this is sort of related to that point about psychology that I mentioned before. The attitude, the body language, and like the moves mixed with the mannerisms of characters, the like taunts, the celebrations, all of that. And what makes a match good is combining all of these things together. It's making a spectacle kind of first, not necessarily first and foremost, but I guess that is the most basic fundamental attraction to a match is this going to be an action event that I'm going to enjoy watching, and making that event itself actually have an interesting story behind it. It could be like underdog, that's kind of the fundamental one, the good versus the evil, the good guy being the underdog, bad guy being the force against them. That's a very fundamental story in wrestling. There's a whole bunch of others, but for brevity's sake, since I've actually recorded this podcast two times already and it ends up getting to 50 minutes each because I start to ramble like I am now, gets a little long, so I'm trying to keep this one short. So Saturday, it made a spectacle, this match between Bayley and Sasha Banks created this spectacle and put this 2-year buildup of a storyline within it, of Bayley being the ultimate underdog against Sasha Banks, who calls herself the boss. Because she is not only the champion, but also she considers herself the most important figure in women's wrestling. She is the queen of it all. She thinks that people should be below her. So, this match is, first off, athleticism. So, as I said before, spoilers for the match. I'm going to actually say what move kind of ends it right now. The finisher was, I guess, there's more than just this. I'm just kind of using, like, a big, like, crescendo example. The match is kind of, like, building up, move after move, getting more extreme, and the big finish was Bayley doing I think it's called a poison Frankensteiner to Sasha Banks to throw her from the top rope onto the mat. It involves both opponents flipping. It's a pretty dangerous move. Sasha, it's supposed to look like she lands on her head and kind of gets like knocked out from it. So it's a high stakes maneuver. And that goes into Bayley's finisher, called the Bayley to Belly, where she essentially hugs you from the front, picks you up, and then slams you on your back. So that is the finish of this match. 1-2-3, Bayley wins. And that is the spectacle part of it. It's moves like that that make this match just basically fun to watch on a visual standpoint. So to get into the stuff that I like more beyond that, the more like subtle mannerisms, the more the smaller moments that aren't necessarily supposed to be physically painful, not the the not necessarily the raw spectacle of it. So the psychology, how the character's attitude is reflected and performed. And throughout the match, since Sasha is the heel in this situation, the one to beat, she is the one with the belt, she doesn't think Bayley is good enough. She has been taunting. She taunts her the whole match. And that's kind of what Sasha does in each match. She always takes the like entrance, any sort of celebration her opponent has and mocks them, copies it themselves. So Bayley always has a kind of a sideways ponytail. Sasha Banks tied her hair up, had a hair elastic just for this occasion because she had her hair down. Ties her hair up, tightens the ponytail just like Bayley does. Does a little like woo that Bayley does. That was horrible. But trying not to be too ridiculous. She just mimicked Bayley, mocked her in this situation. Another example is she had Bayley on the ground in a corner and starts just screaming at her, "You think you're better than me because all these people love you." Because everyone's cheering for Bayley. That's what they're supposed to do. Supposed to, in the perfect scenario, they cheer the face, they boo the heel. They boo for the right reasons, because it's a good heel, not because they don't think it's a good wrestler. Because that's kind of like a different sort of a displeasure with a person. But everyone loves Sasha Banks, so they actually cheer for her too. So she is screaming at Bayley that Bayley's not better than her. She calling her a loser, saying that all these people that are cheering for her don't make her worthy of this match at all. Don't make her worthy of the women's championship belt, because Sasha thinks that, you know, she is the only one that really earns that. And since it's the underdog story, it's Bayley lying there, like, just getting screamed at and then eventually retaliating, kicking Sasha in the head, I think, in this situation. And then getting a little momentum after that. And so the story, as I said earlier, now onto the story of this match. It's been about a 2-year build-up for this to kind of explain the full story, or not the full one, but like a more detailed version is... There are 4 main women in NXT. I guess 3 of them have been moved up, but that is also part of the story. 4 main women that are changed, quite literally changing the face of women's wrestling in this promotion, in WWE, like how people view it in WWE, in NXT. They are bringing the heat. Like, they are beyond the talent that has been seen in maybe 2 decades, arguably ever. So they are... They call them, like, out of the show, they call themselves the 4 Horsewomen, which is a play on the 4 Horsemen, which was the group of people by Ric Flair, like, kind of led by Ric Flair, that kind of dominated for a bit. Not a bit, quite a while. And they are changing the game. So they are 4 women that everyone is interested in watching. They are all a great show. So what happened... Over time, these 4 women, Bayley, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte, they all have matches against each other, obviously. And Bayley, for the first year, loses all of the important ones. All of the number one contenders match to go for the championship belt. All of the matches that are actually for the belt, Bayley is constantly losing. She loses to Charlotte in a one-on-one. She loses to Becky Lynch, not only in a match does she lose to Becky Lynch, but Becky Lynch was her friend and then actually, like, blindsided her. Becky Lynch blindsided Bayley because Becky decided to side with Sasha. She became Sasha's kind of assistant. And after that, Bayley loses to all of them in a fatal 4-way that happened in February this year. That was also for the belt. That's when Sasha Banks actually won it. So, shortly after that, Bayley breaks her hand, has to sit out for a month, month and a half at least. And over this time, the other women are gaining momentum, getting more fans, more recognition. And the other three, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte, all get called up to the main roster, to WWE, to be on Raw, to help in what is called the Divas Revolution, quote-unquote, because that's what women are called. Female wrestlers are divas in the WWE. I'm not a huge fan of that, but, you know, maybe it'll change sometime. and that kind of revolution. That's a whole other story that has failed greatly because it's been handled very poorly. But these three women get pulled up. And Bayley is still in NXT. Bayley's still recovering. And after they get pulled up, Bayley starts gaining momentum. She starts winning fights against other women, female wrestlers like Emma. I think she had a match against Dana Brooke as well. Dana Brooke is not exactly on the same tier as all these other women. But so after she starts gaining this momentum, she starts asking for matches. She gets a match against Charlotte. She beats Charlotte, goes up to William Regal, the head of NXT, the one who, in the stories of NXT, organizes the matches, and okays the number one contender match, the championship match. He is the one you go to for to get a match that you want, to ask for any sort of promotion. She asks for a title shot against Sasha Banks, and he says, "You're not ready yet. Have a match against Becky Lynch." Bayley's, okay, fine, beats Becky Lynch, now has a match against Sasha. And while this is going on, Sasha is just bad-mouthing Bayley. So constantly, kind of what I was talking about her doing in the ring is what Sasha was doing outside of the ring as well, taunting Bayley, mocking her, saying that all of these little girls that look up to Bayley are going to find out that fairy tales do not have a happy ending. All of this builds up to Saturday this week, where Bayley and Sasha fight, and that is the build-up of this underdog story. So you get a lot, you can have a lot of time to build these things up, and guaranteed this was not the focus. This was not the intended idea for Bayley to eventually have this build-up, to have this sort of farewell match to Sasha Banks for her role in NXT as she gets moved up to the main roster. But it kind of like falls into that. So that is the story of this event. And just not the story is important, but how it relates to the match itself, which is what I was talking about, with Sasha taunting more and more, and Bayley eventually retaliating and being that underdog that people love to see. And that is, in turn, the in-ring storytelling of this. And for other examples like that, after Bayley retaliates a bit, and then Sasha knocks her down again, and then Sasha gains the momentum that she originally had, takes it back from Bayley. Sasha is about to do her move, the double knee, I don't know, I guess you could call it a double knee drop down, where her opponent is laid out at the turnbuckle of the ropes, and Sasha jumps up, drops her knees onto their stomach, and like their abdomen, and then they plummet to the ground. It's usually done from the second rope, and Sasha sets that up. Bayley counters it. Sasha knocks her down again, moves Bayley to the top rope, which is something that has not been seen from Sasha. So this is a new new step up, augmenting one of her own moves in this match that she thinks is necessary, sending a message to Bayley that and the crowd around her that this match is different. This is the bigger one. She needs to make her moves more extreme. Executes that move, and you know, gets even more momentum after that. And now, back to Bayley's broken hand, another example from this match that was probably one of the highlights. Bayley has a cast on her hand. Not only just the cast, but also a wristband around it with polka dots to honor Dusty Rhodes, who the late Dusty Rhodes, who passed away earlier this year, and he was the character, essentially the character builder for NXT. He always helped them with promotions. So, at one point in the match, Sasha rips off this wristband of Bayley's, starts tearing away her cast, and takes it off her hand entirely. Her still recovering hand is fully exposed, or at least in the story, it is still recovering. So, Sasha starts targeting the hand, slams it down on the steel steps, puts it between the steel steps and the ring, kicks the steel steps into them, is just focusing on this hand, trying to take away anything she can from Bayley, exploiting this weakness, which is showing that Sasha is no longer as confident as she was earlier, and is trying to put Bayley at a lower physical ability level than she was before. So that's like taking away, it's showing Sasha's loss of confidence in this match. And that also went on to Sasha Banks putting Bayley in her submission of the bank statement, which is a crossface and bridge. And the crossface, so you have your hands like slamming against your opponent's face and, you know, stretching their neck and back out. And like they start screaming in pain. Bayley, if she reaches the rope, grabs the rope, Sasha has to break the hold. So while Bayley is reaching for the rope with her broken hand, her exposed hand at this point, Sasha takes her foot and starts viciously stomping on it. So it's like Sasha is fully leaning into she's becoming even more of a heel than she was at the start of the match by just fully exploiting this weakness of Bayley. So that is a full heel move to do, just taking a weakness, taking an injury and exploiting it. And that is another example of this elusive in-ring storytelling that I was talking about. So what makes this match as good as it was, as memorable as it was, like this match is history. This match will be remembered. This is the best women's match in WWE history. And that is because of all of these different aspects, all of these different elements mixing together well, all of them relating to each other. So the match ends. 1, 2, 3, Bayley gets the belt. Sasha rolls out of the ring. It is Bayley's moment, lifts the belt up. Her music plays. She's getting teared up, holding back tears. I'm watching with my friends Serge and Dal, who were on, I think it was episode 189, where we talked about this card and the SummerSlam card as well. So we're all watching. At this moment, we were really into this match, obviously. Serge is in love with Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks is one of his favorite current wrestlers, if not his favorite, for good reason. Sasha Banks is maybe at this time in her career, at only 23, might be the best women's wrestler WWE has ever had in terms of the total package of good on mic, good in the ring, all of that. So the match ends and Becky Lynch and Charlotte run out and hug Bayley after she has raised the belt for a little bit. It's at this moment that start to realize this isn't the show anymore. This is these women. This is them celebrating this amazing match at the biggest event NXT has ever had. This is 15,000 people, a sold out Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And they come out and hug her, raise her up. And it's at this point that I am really getting choked up. I don't, you know, I'm not trying to cry in front of friends like Dear Zach, as I did after I watched Dear Zachary. Luckily, I wasn't around anyone at that time, but you know, it was getting to that point. This was like the perfect story, the perfect execution of that story. And it's an incredibly emotional moment. And then Sasha Banks comes into the ring and she and Bayley hug. And that's when, like, I'm gone. I'm out the door. Like, I'm sobbing, trying to turn it into laughter so it doesn't get incredibly awkward. Dal's throwing me tissues because he's a good friend. He understands. And it's this moment that kind of augments this match, why it should have been the last match on the card instead of the rematch between Kevin Owens and Finn Balor. Because, one, we've already seen that match. Two, this was where the belt exchanged. And this was these women celebrating, not in the story, not in the wrestling world anymore. This was these women celebrating themselves as this fucking powerhouse of talent. And the people recognizing that and them holding up four fingers representing the four horsewomen, how they are changing the game, how they're going to continue changing the game. And that curtain call is what cements this event, this match, as my absolute favorite. If that didn't happen, it still would have been my favorite match of the year. The best match of the year, but that is the, I don't think anything will ever beat this, at least this year. Fully willing for it to, hope, you know, always hope it gets better. The use of these women so far in the main roster is, an entire mismanagement, and that is a conversation for a different time, because I'm trying to keep this podcast shorter. So, that is, I won't get into that, but it's bad. Right now on WWE. But that is what makes not only a good match, but what makes this the best match, my favorite match of the year. Those are just a few examples. The match was around 20 minutes long, and it was littered with things like this, moments like these that I talked about. And that's kind of what makes other wrestling so easily forgettable, is it. What makes a match amazing is all of these things put together in the right way. And it's really easy to mismatch any part of these. So if your face actually starts acting like a heel when they really shouldn't, if they're like stealing their opponent's moves, trying to like humiliate them, you know, it's kind of missteps like that, depending on the character. You know, that can be a purposeful thing in storytelling to try to make it a more like monumental moment, but it's really easy to not have all of these combined together, because simply a spectacle does not make wrestling good. It's what makes it good. It's not what makes it great. So wrestling can often be bad, but when it's on point, it is unforgettable. Like this match on Saturday. I cannot stress enough, watch this match on Saturday from NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. So I'm going to cut it there. I'm going to keep this. This is half as long as the other ones have been after the other failures, if you will. Not failures, poor attempts. But this is the first like solo outing done. Maybe I'll try to do more of these in the future, get a little better at them for kind of one-off episodes like this. So we are almost at 200. We're almost at PAX, where we'll all be together recording live. We've got a few more episodes coming this week. I think after this one posts, we'll have four more to do. So excited to get these done. I will probably take a break. After we hit 200, I'll probably take a podcast or two off, because I've been doing this a whole lot in the last few weeks. So I hope you guys like this. I hope this kind of helped explain what, if you didn't really get why people like wrestling, why I like wrestling, why I won't shut up about it. It's because of, you know, I hopefully have explained why I enjoy it. Can enjoy it so much, not necessarily all the time, but why it has the capability to be so memorable for me. So yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. You can check us out, Facebook, that's where we post all these things, and that links to our Twitter, both of those, Game Over Nation, facebook.com/GameOverNation, and at Game Over Nation. I am at RabbitWombat9 on Twitter, so you can see me tweet about wrestling, all of my anger with how they are handling these women, the three women that have been brought up to the WWE as of right now, so you can hear me complain all the time if you want. So yeah, I'm gonna cut it there. Thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you give wrestling a shot if you haven't already. Maybe you thought it was stupid. It definitely can be stupid, and it mostly is, but sometimes it is a good stupid, sometimes it is a good serious, sometimes it's a bad serious. But you know, matches like this one are the pinnacle, and this is something that is easy to recommend to people. So thanks for listening, everyone. I'll catch you guys next time. I'm gonna be recording another podcast or two today, actually, so this is my day is just starting. I'll see you guys next time. Bye.